The distinction between monster and strength. Thank you.
conditions in the world, the people in this world can have the goals and ambitions and passions. As described by the Kingdom of God, you can hire a mission, recreation, and trust people to do. Jesus is your last day, the chance to come to the world. The Kingdom of God is this, that all men and women are floating on the goals and dreams of their children. If it comes to the understanding that they are the eternal friends of Krishna, they will be open to this following condition. The same in our Gita, in verse 7, comes to Asia, from the Asia, and the Western world. Going to the world of passion, we desire many things. And according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of physical, moral, material nature, gives us a certain sometimes by a master or servant, as helps us to learn skills that will come to this situation. While knowing the uniform, to put an end to this non-centered stage. To support our original constitutional position, known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, we are master and servant in turn. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters. As we appeal to be controlled, the supreme person of the prophet and the eternal servants, this temporary condition is that in our entire life, we are living a lot of certain ways to keep in mind that we can do that. 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 I'm going to be in charge of any time, for any time, for any time. this new death. So, in a healthy condition, we realize that if we can only depend on the mercy of whoever has the solution. And in this position, Jabbar is the supreme surgeon. He saw if they hadn't caught that virus at the very beginning, then that virus would have killed them. But as the doctors were vigilant and they caught the virus right at the beginning, they had the proper medicine, they were able to kill them in the hospital. So, in the same way, Jabbar saw in this king the disease that he himself had died from. He had died from a disease, a misunderstanding of power, misunderstanding of compassion, and he had taken treatments. And so now he saw this king who was thinking, he was thinking, I'm perfect, powerful, and happy, but it was just the beginning of the disease. He didn't have the disease too badly. You see that in 2 seconds. And even the fact that he was on the road to the ashram is an indication that he had some information, some training in his life, some psychic qualities that were going to lead him to be able to heal and recognize supreme qualities of Jabbar. Even though externally he appeared to be far from a sadhu, far from saintly person, he couldn't recognize that he was. So one of the advantages, one of the qualities that Jabbar, one of the qualities that someone in this position has is he never pitched. And he met the devotion. I'm looking at the instruction that I'm speaking in the first verse. Your Bhakti Vedan, Master Kali Vedan, 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 Kamsa Vedan. This word Vedan, however, sometimes translates it as pitch. So, you're all in my book. I'm sure you've experienced what pitch is like. And so, sometimes when pushing is there, we go somewhere where we want to go. Isn't it where someone comes from behind or the side or both behind one side and all that just shoves you very respectfully, but nevertheless, get out of my way. There's a space right in front of you and I'm just saying, and they push and they push. So in the material in his life, he could push. He could push by anger. He could push by envy. He could push by pride. He could push by hunger and our desire was the sense of education, the form of sex desire. He get pushed and he get forced. He goes where he goes. We even know, for those of us who are sitting here in this room, we have some knowledge. We're aware that we don't want to go. And yet, I doubt that there's one person in this room who can say they've never been pushed by one of these things and forced beyond their ability to struggle, at least for some time. Fortunately, with mercy of good association, we can usually get a bit, right? They're falling down slowly, you grip onto something, they're too big, or somebody else's hand, and you're hanging on to your money. I know because I can't even bend down unless I have something to get me up. I go down and I don't have something near me to help me up, I can't get up again. So we don't want to be pushed, and Jabbar is witnessing, he's looking at what he's looking at, and seeing this king, this leader of men, and he's leading men, he's a leader, not a teacher, he's a leader of men, but he's being pushed by false pride, he's being pushed by anger, so much so that just because I'm trying to say some names, just because the pelvis is a little bit shaky, he's looking at beat me. He's trying maybe to kill me. And he says, I think I should do something about this. This needs an intervention, as I said. I think I'm going to do an intervention. So he breaks his silence and he gives a small amount of instruction, a few verses. He speaks and he says to Jabbar some words which indicate that he is someone other than what he appears to be. That he has transcendental knowledge. That he has the vision of someone who has understood the purpose of human life.
Homer has been able to transcend the pushing. So that even when he sees the dear energy directing him somewhere, he just comes very well. Shouldn't he take it? Even though he was going to kill, right? He still doesn't push, wasn't pushed to retaliate. Even in the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Descendant, Rupa Goswami, he gives us a, in the Anyabhyasana Sunyam verse, he gives us a little act. He says that if we try to save our lives, that's not considered an impetus to Bhakti. We're not considered an impediment to Bhakti. Because it's such a natural inclination, right? That when someone is threatening your life, you have a natural inclination to try to save yourself. So that's not considered deviation from trying to please Krishna. Because it says, I'm not going to be down, I'm nothing supposed to get in the way of that bhakti. But Rupa Goswami says that that tendency to protect oneself from death doesn't stand in the way. But here, for Doug Bird, even though he was in that position, he didn't allow himself to get completely attempted to have it reached. It's very interesting that in the Buddha of Kundalini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites Doug Bird as one of three most merciful people. So, three of the most merciful people that he mentioned, I'm not very much sure what to do on that. The son Raja Chetu, and apparently it's mentioned in the Shantikarga that this king was took the demigod's side and under the submissions of his curse, going through very tragic conflict, and there he was tortured in so many ways, and he felt compassion for his tortures, and so he gave them transcendental. The other person we know very well is Nityananda Maharaja. Nityananda Mahaprabhu, the emblem of mercy, that even Jagai and Marai and so many others who tried to harm him in different ways and threw insults at him and even at the top tried to hit his head, make him bleed, he stood up for them. He begged Nityananda Mahaprabhu, please spare them. If you're going to kill everybody in this material world who isn't qualified, you're going to have to kill everybody. Because this is how you know who's qualified. Everybody is in this group. So then we just give them the devotion to. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acquiesces to this request. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most concerned. So then the third person is Judge Bhakti. To that vision of Chakravarti of being most merciful. Because he explains that he gave mercy to everybody. He gave mercy to his brothers. Even though his brothers were so overcome by passion and even enemies that they mistreated him very badly. But he gave mercy to them because he accepted their offerings with enthusiasm with rich. And by accepting their offerings, they were doing transactions. So they made spiritual arrangements because they offered a huge bodhi, and he accepted it, and he honored it with marriage. And so they were advanced by his mercy, so he was merciful to them. He was merciful to the Catholics because it's by his mercy that Kali jumped out of the deity and ended their life. And by ending their life, that their karma was also removed. They lacked some kind of because they were in a hellish situation, hellish. They continued in this way, then their comments would become worse and worse and worse and worse and go on downward to life. So Kali ended it, playing ball with the kids. So he was merciful to them. And now this king, who is actually, this is what Chakra says, in the cycle game, but is being influenced now by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance to bottom his surgery. And he's been doing it timely now. He sees the disease, he's catching it at stage one. So he's going to perform an operation to remove that disease. Hopefully it won't be too late. Can we see the action? that Modena is able to be. So, because underneath the Modena is outward, hard, core appearance of Israel and Modena. He has a sincere desire to be a servant. He has a sincere desire. He's a good kid. He wanted to be a servant. And to some extent, his desire to recommend it to the to recommend John Barth, he's motivated by that desire to train him up. This is good. He can do very nice stuff. He's got a little bit of birthday excitement. But his attitude was to train him up, to show them how to do their service. They need translation. He just didn't recognize the sacred character. So then the question comes, is it that we really want? Because when we hear instruction from sacred people, which we have already had the great fortune of being able to do, and hopefully we continue to do for years on end, this medicine won't take effect unless our desire is in harmony with the nature of the instruction. So it will become impalpable to us if we have another desire. There's a nice story of a king who had a daughter. And one day, she had a very precious necklace that she liked very much. She was very valuable. And then the crow came and grabbed it and took it from the necklace. And she was very, very disturbed. She went to the father and she said, I want my necklace back. So the father, he said, well, I'll get you another necklace. There's so many necklaces. I have so much money. I can get you whatever necklace you want. She said, no, I want that necklace. I want that necklace. I need to have the best necklace. And I want that necklace. If you don't get me that necklace, I'm going to get it. So, our misplaced passion for his daughter, he said, okay, I'll put out a reward throughout my kingdom. And whoever finds your necklace will get half of the gift. So that proclamation went out far and wide, and needless to say, that's going to make looking for a necklace. And looking high and low and everywhere, trying to find this necklace, no one was too successful. It was taken a further mile, and the king finally himself thought, maybe I should try to find the necklace, because then I won't have to give down my kingdom to anybody. And no one seems to be able to find it, so maybe I'll do it. So finally, one young man, he was looking in his Bible, and he saw the necklace. He thought, the necklace is in this Bible volume. So he dove into the Bible, but the Bible volume was filthy, dirty, full of mud. And as soon as he dived in, the mud was agitated, and all these insects were biting at him, and he was getting harassed in so many ways. So he came out and found the surface of the body was all muddy, waited a few minutes, standing there, agony, uncomfortable as anything. And he didn't think the water settled. He saw the necklace. So he knew the necklace was in the water, and he fell in the water again, knowing this time that it was going to be unpleasant to him. But still he ran. And he drove around and tried to find the necklace, and he still couldn't find it. And then he came out, and he did, he saw the necklace. And finally, word came out all around the top of the villages that the necklace has been stolen. So everyone came to this way. And even the king came to this way. And sure enough, they saw the necklace, it's there, you can see it. And they're all digging in the water. And now the moon is looking bright, he sees them all green, and he thinks, what am I doing? So he lands and he goes to the king and he says, oh my God, please tell me the glories of this beautiful lake. It must be some holy tear. Everybody's dying in this lake. It must be something wonderful. Please tell me the glories of this wonder. So the king is a little embarrassed. He said, I'm sorry. But actually what it is that my daughter and king was in it. But she was told to tell me to get back to her eternal self in my affection for her and for half my kingdom to anyone who could find the necklace. And now he slides and then he's in this lake. No, I'm trying to get it. And he has a demon. And now he needs to have this. And he needs to have this. And he's got this. And he's got this. Everyone is looking at him, yelling and laughing. The king, everyone is worrying and bleeding and a mess. And now he finds it out to the tree. And there is an image hanging in a tree. And the reflection was in the water. And because they were diving for the reflection, because they thought the reflection was really what they wanted, therefore, they made fools of themselves. They took the same person, verse 9, to come to the rescue, to say, hey, listen, what are you doing? You're crying for necklace and you're crying in the tree. And God Lord is going to do the same thing for me. You're diving in an ocean of repeated broken death, thinking that your happiness comes from being in charge, or being cool, for being big, for being powerful, for making me a servant, bossing people around, but you're delighting for the reflection. And because you're diving for the reflection, you're destined to go through the heat of the living dead. And who knows where you might end up? Now you're the king. Not this one's a king. So surely I was a bigger king than you. I was right now. King, the whole part of God was named after me. And look what happened. I became dear. And now I'm your pelican king. And it isn't going to be too long before you also carry that king. Who knows what will be next time? Maybe you will talk to you. God said you can attach to them. Sometimes they come back and talk to you too much. You don't know what will be. So don't fool yourself. Don't die for the reflection. Because if you keep dying for the reflection, you'll just get filled up and confused. In 5 years, of who am I, not who am I, whatever I am, it's very difficult to cross over. Almost, it's impossible. It's impossible. The only way to achieve success is to heal from the Vajra, the cloak of glory, the merciful Vajra. You need to move to the right. Srila Prabhupada was that merciful person who came to the shore of this lake filled with burning incense and garbage and reflections. But there's green. Green is a word that's used in American fashion for imitation garments, things that glitter and shine and look valuable and glitzy and make you feel a pain. Okay, but mean they have no value. They're just cheap plastic, right? Just cheap plastic garbage. But in fact, I used to do that. I used to say sometimes the sannyasi, sannyasi fell down and he was pumping gas. But with the destiny, he used to eat off silver plate, and now he's pumping gas at the gas station. So, we're out to bloom, we're out to some kind of material shine. In the West, and all over, not in the outside, is no longer exempt. Even in Vrindavan, even in Mayapur, even on our campus, we have the chance, the opportunity to go for the reflection. So many servants, I mean, start to think, I'm in history. I have so many servants. Someone is planting my garden, someone is harvesting my crops, someone is cutting them up, someone is cooking them, someone is serving it to me, someone is washing my laundry, someone is ironing my hair, someone is putting it after me, cooking it for me. It goes on and on and on. And so many servants. What does that make me? It makes me valuable. It makes me master of my capacity. I wonder if that's what my vision is. But we have to be careful. Patterns that are inherently wrong, like hungry originated in everything. Yes, servants, yes, hookers, yes, oiled hair, fancy clothes. He was definitely fashion of the gods. He was enough. But he never forgot. He never forgot that he was both a doctor and a lawyer. And as soon as he heard a burden about Krishna and his mercy on Kumbhana, he immediately flew out of the way. He So Srila Prabhupada came into the grove of the New York City. And he gave us Krishna consciousness. And he tried very hard to figure out, he didn't pray at the beginning, he prayed before he left the place. We're doing a story how he went to Shantipur on a regular basis to pray to the Lord Chaitanya. He sat in the back of the temple chanting japa. And finally, one day he came and he was crying and he dried that song. Well, Sadhguru, you're here waiting for me chanting. And today I see you crying, what's going on? He said, well, my spiritual master has given me an impossible instruction. He's called me to go to the West and give Krishna consciousness to these people. And I have a ticket. I'm leaving today and tomorrow on a double duty. I'm on my way now to get on the boat. And I came to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya because it was he who brought Lord Chaitanya down by his calling. He was saving people because if you don't, then not to let them off. It was too hard. Thank you. So, Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter that he wrote to me, and he wrote it in 1956. The 1956 is about 10 years before he came to New York, before he was influenced by the Muslim World Cup. So, he wrote this letter to the President of India. And I want to, this is around the end of that. But first I want to point out that Srila Prabhupada not only saw himself as the servant of Krishna, he saw himself as the servant of you, and you, and me, and dedicated his life to that service. He saw his service to Krishna being our servant. He saw his service to the spiritual master training us up to strengthen his consciousness on the world. Prabhupada was on a mission. He was on a mission. And he spoke to this president of India. And he said to him, he started his letter with kindness upon his obeisances. It is a custom in India from the time immemorial that a citizen of the state would approach the king, who has expressed his grievances for redemption. And the king very kindly considered his case as being done and given necessary relief by the judgment. If it does not own it, Your Excellency is seated in the position of king by the will and grace of the Lord. And as a true Vaishnava, I must accept Your Excellency as a representative of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, as He has expressed Himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, I beg to lay before Your most exalted honor the following few lines of favorable consideration and do the needful and pure consciousness. I beg to submit your wish that by the grace of Sri Krishna, through His mercy personified, my spiritual master, I have realized it most thoroughly that getting back to Godhead is the highest privilege of mankind, and that is the supreme perfection of human life. Unfortunately, the present-day human civilization is very much attached to the duty of Pankriti, the illusory material nature. And as such, they are overpowered by demonic form of propensity in the atheistic self of civilization manifested in the mind of sense gratification. This tendency is dangerously harmful to the real purpose of the aim of life should be to make a sincere effort to go back to Godhead. But contrary to this, the tendency is to go back to hell, or in cycles of evolutionary animals. As it is described in the 16th chapter of the Bible, this is the 1956 chapter. Please, therefore, save them from this great fall down. Believe me or not, I have a tool of going back to Godhead just after leaving my place in the church of in order to take along with me all my contemporary men and women of the world, I have started my faith of baptism as one of the new to the world. Please do not think me as wonderful or as a madman. When I say I shall go back to Gardia after leaving my visit to Levani, it is quite possible for everyone, all of us. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said very clearly that whoever may adopt the specific principle of accepting Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, he would be able to achieve the highest transcendental goal of life. Never mind what it is, either born untouchable, or woman, or religious, or man dealing in rupees, honors, and honors. He being so, what is the difficulty for Christ Godhead to both king to go back to Godhead? Everyone should therefore adopt this principle of going back to God in order to get released from the world of miseries that are temporary existence. Then he speaks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, then I am very eager, therefore, to broadcast the secret of my success to all men and women of the world. As a natural consequence, I am seeking your excellency's help in cooperation and this great attempt to transcendental service. To make a worldwide propaganda for the most essential service to humanity, it is necessary that your excellency stretch the helping hand necessary in this realm. As your exalted honor, personally fit to do the job. I am flying alone in the wilderness at this moment. So please help me in this moment of confidence. I am in the anticipation of your words. So, Father becomes my daughter, and Captain Sub goes on the phone to carry baby on that, and it's his grandson and his son. So, as Hardcore Judge is thinking, my service is to judge this case, your guilty, your innocent. As Father is thinking, my service is to support my family, to make sure my children are protected. As Father, his service is to be on the floor and make his baby have a good time. So, he's acting, of course, about that. He had many, many different services. The bard saw the services to carry forward. My service is to be a sacrifice, okay, I'll be a sacrifice. My service is to clean the floor, okay, clean the floor. We saw that from Prabhupada when Prabhupada first came to New York. He was cooking, he was cleaning, he was waiting online, he was watching the pump selfies. He was coming to the coffee shop and chasing the boys back into his plants. So he wasn't the doctor, he wasn't the forester, he wasn't the king. He was the servant of Krishna, and his service manifested in the living. So it's really a matter of consciousness, this Bhagavad Gita, that I think of myself, whatever I have to do, even if I'm in control of some situation, you know, she's a minister, I think of it as my service. And I look at it even as here, I think, I'm a servant of my disciples, I'm a servant of my servants. And if I maintain that attitude of service, then what I do becomes motivated by the welfare of others instead of by the blame, the reflection. Questions on the internet, and it says, who was the spiritual master of Jedbal? prayers, mission, and mission from here? That's a very good question. Because it's not mentioned in the Bible time who is going to master us. And there is some mention in the writings of Dr. Thomas Kitakura that Chuck Barrett fell down for two reasons. He cites two reasons. One reason was because he did not take the blessings of the spiritual master and the to the focus. Without seeking blessings of spiritual master. So maybe he didn't have one, or maybe he had the priests, you know, the spiritual masters of the many Brahmins in his kingdom, but it's not mentioned in the Shastra, many Shastras that I've seen and quoted. So there's no specific mention of the spiritual master. And the second reason, just out of curiosity, I'm sure you want to know, the second reason was because he went along to the forest and didn't have the association from the forest. So he knew the association of devotees, because if he had had the association of devotees, someone might have said to him, don't you think I'm going to talk to Steve for a week from now? You know, maybe you should, but chill. Because this thing of the deal is getting to be too much, and you're not doing this, so you know, you're not doing this, so you know. And so, but he was alone. And so his mind became his counselor. And we see with Arjuna also, that Arjuna at the beginning, his mind became his counselor. And he had many good arguments why he shouldn't do the right thing. Until he actually saw our spiritual master. And our spiritual master said, you know, he's not going to be done in doing that actually. And gave him 17 chapters of good instruction. And then at the end, he said, what the Bharat is now saying to Lugana. What do you want to do? Now to learn and now do what you want to do. And this is what the Bharat is saying, this is what the Bharat is saying to Lugana. Okay, if you want to be the master of every subject, you tell me what to do, what to do. But unfortunately, it's what we've been saying. He started, and then he left the business section. And he should get the did I see your hand up there, please? He laughed in a sense, yes. Not particularly, but yes, his spiritual answer in that sense, yes. Should be his spiritual fountain. You know, as we have, it's always about the times, and so when it comes to making your hard decisions in life, you can't really go and sit down and do what you should. So, I think I should end this. I really thank you very much. I'll always just look at all those.